Welcome to Lime and Beyond with Tanya, where we talk all about Lyme and beyond, because as we know, Lyme doesn't travel alone. I created this podcast to offer hope and inspiration and to remind you that healing is possible because I healed from my 13-year journey. Although it was exhausting physically, emotionally, and financially, it truly was a blessing as it reshaped my mind, body, and soul. In this space, we have raw and real conversations with those who have made it to the other side of this journey, as well as we break down different topics and approaches with practitioners. My goal is to help you feel less alone, more empowered, and confident in being your own advocate. So thank you so much for tuning in today. If you're looking for more tips and resources, I share everything I learned along my journey on my Lyme and Beyond with Tanya Facebook page. So now let's get to today's guest. And let me tell you, I am so excited about this episode. You know, I always want to seek out and bring the best guests on my show because I do it for you listeners, right? So if you have a topic, if you want to know about something, reach out to me. That's what I'm here for. I want to bring what is going to empower you guys. So every once in a while, I will get something on my radar, and this topic today has been on my radar for a while. And so, of course, I'm seeking out who can share all about this. And I think I may have found the king of bee venom therapy. So you've probably heard a lot of conversation and maybe even controversy over it. I don't know. In the Lyme community, I know nothing about it other than I think you sting yourself with bees, which to me sounds terrifying, but we are going to learn all about this together. So I'm so excited to welcome my guest today, John Fulbright. John, it's nice to meet you, and thank you so much for taking time to join us, share your Lyme story, but most importantly, I'm so excited to dive into this bee venom therapy and learn all about it. So welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tanya. I appreciate it. It's awesome to be here.
So let's kind of just start when you first got sick, because I know, kind of the end of your journey is where the bee venom kind of takes over. So let's just start from the beginning. Like, did you get sick a long time ago? Have you always been sick? Just where do we want to start?
Well, I guess I could go back 45 years. I was bit by a tick in Rome, Georgia. And at the time I got sick, I thought you got lockjaw or something when you got bit by a tick. I didn't really know what you would get. I didn't know what Lyme was a random weird word that I was like, what is it? It must be lockjaw is what I thought. So I got bit when I was 12 and I had neurologic issues. Most of the time I did pretty good. If I overdid it with sports or climbing, I knew I was having issues with tendons. And a lot of pain developing when I really worked hard. If I was playing hockey and got tired, overdid it, then I would have neurologic issues, big migraines, lose vision, vomiting, that kind of thing. And MDs just said, well, it's just got to be migraines, you know? So nobody really knew what was going on. And I basically survived well most of my life. And fast forward to when I was in my 30s, late 30s, I was married, first time I was married. I started going through some serious stress events. My relationship was not thriving. I basically was headed towards divorce, and in that process, I started getting just very sad and heartbroken and kind of depressed. And it was at that time that I decided, well, I need to go on a vision quest and find out where my life is going. And really try to get some, I wanted to contribute of something of great value to the world. I wasn't just about, climbing mountains and this and that, running rivers. I'd done that my whole life. I was a professional guide, had a degree in adventure travel, and I wanted something more. I didn't want to just go die in the mountains in some crevasse. And I thought, well, I wonder what the world has for me. And in that process, I went on this crazy vision quest. And on that vision quest, I had witnessed a lightning storm. And I asked for direction and asked to be struck. And oddball enough, I got hit within seconds and was struck by lightning. And that left me internally burned. I was fine. I never got knocked out. I felt full. And I thought, well, amazed I survived that. And so I went kayaking for a few months, and then I started getting sick all the time, really weak, started vomiting a lot, lost 60 pounds, wasn't sure I was going to survive. And then I began to discover different layers in healing. And so I learned this ancient Japanese art called Ampuku, which is internal organ acupressure, and was introduced to five element theory. And that helped me start to put weight back on and digest. And I kind of developed a lot of practice around breath work and releasing trapped emotions. And so that brought me up a level. Fast forward in 2005, I had mostly recovered, 2007, mostly recovered from the lightning, and started getting new symptoms and was wondering what's going on. And my mom was suffering actually from similar to me. I was developing a brain fog and systemic arthritis. I was having these recurring tendon issues, which in Chinese medicine reflects the wood element. So when your roots and your tendons are struggling, then you've got liver issues. And I wasn't sure what was going on with me. But I was watching my mom die, and during that process, I discovered that my mom's ex-husband was robbing our estate. So now I had brand new kids, a remodel, was exposed to a huge amount of financial stress and in a legal war. And next thing you know, my symptoms are just incapacitating. I couldn't lift my brand new baby out of the crib. I was going to doctors, couldn't figure anything out. I had gotten chicken pox late in life at about 28 years old, and I started losing vision in my left eye. And I was going blind and had systemic arthritis, was getting heart palpitations, tremors, and I had no idea what was going on. And I figured stress is one thing, but this was ridiculous. I was actually losing vision every time my heart beat. And then I discovered it was actually shingles internal. So in the process of finding out what was killing me, I got muscle tested, and this kinesiologist said, "Oh, hate to tell you, but besides shingles, you actually have Lyme disease and a bunch of co-infections." And I said, "Oh,
Muscle
that's
testing is one of my favorite things. I always love it when a guest brings it up.
and I thought, there's no way. I said, that's BS. And I went and I got a blood test, and I spent, I think it was about almost 2 grand on getting the Western blot and the ELISA, and seeing an infectious disease doctor. It was about $800 an hour. And insurance wasn't going to cover any of that. And sure enough, I had Lyme. It was a positive test. The infectious disease doctor told me that's the first positive test they'd seen in 25 years, even though she mostly made diagnosis based on symptoms. And so this is something really common. So I realized, okay, I'm in the Lyme hole, which was really, I had no idea how bad it would really be, and how bad it has been for so many people. And I actually at the time had a close friend struggling with Lyme for the past 10 years. And I was honestly sick of her telling me about it, because she just always went on and on about, "Oh, I can't do any, I'm not healing, and it's affecting my mind, and I can't sleep, and I'm exhausted." And I was like, "Wow, good luck with that."
She's a lot. Like, don't bring me down with, and it's crazy. Isn't it crazy how, like you mentioned earlier, you thought Lyme, was maybe like a lockjaw thing. When I heard Lyme disease, because I got tested 3 times over 7 years, and of course it was negative every time because we know how inaccurate our, standard tests are. And I thought Lyme disease was something dogs got because I remember growing up as a child, like, I feel like I remember my parents treating our dogs with ticks and flea stuff and to keep Lyme away. And so I'm like, I have a dog disease. Like, I was so confused. And I thought I was alone. Like, I was the one of very few people that actually have Lyme disease. But once you get brought into this community and it gets on your radar, wow. Just wow.
It
And I
was a
know that to people that are not sick or that are not dealing with, Lyme related issues, when they hear people talk about it, it's very confusing. It really sounds like we're hypochondriacs. We want attention because oftentimes we look perfectly fine, but they can't see what's going on the inside of us. So you probably had a whole different perspective for this lady that, you were like, once you have Lyme, right? Like, it really just opens our eyes for sure.
And it was tough like that, because not only was I kind of like already over listening to her stories about it, I wanted to find an answer. And as I was doing that, I'd spent 10 years healing my gut after lightning and wasn't about, the infectious disease lady said, look, you're going to be on antibiotics the rest of your life. And I'm like, well, I'm not maybe going to survive that. I already had a really difficult time surviving the lightning strike with being able to absorb new food. And so I just said, well, that's nice. I did get the prescription of doxycycline and I kept it on a bag on the shelf and I never took it because I just didn't want to destroy the 10 years of work I'd done to heal my gut. But I was critical. I was disabled. I was, had no memory, no thermal regulation, no balance, no smell or taste. I couldn't kayak or ski. I was getting Bell's palsy. I was losing control of my lower legs and my hamstrings, and I was really terrified. And I, like I said, I couldn't really even lift my little baby out of her crib. And it was at that point, I live in Taos, New Mexico, where there's a 650-foot suicide destination bridge over the Rio Grande River. And growing up as a professional guide, I've worked for years doing body recoveries. So I've had a lot of empathy with people that had committed suicide. I'd had six friends jump. Well, at the time, it was only five. But now I've had additional friends that have jumped. And it was in this process that actually, that I was there asking myself at the bridge, am I suicidal yet? And I said, no, well, no, I got to find a way out of this hole. And realizing how complicated the hole is, I called a medical center in Arizona and said, look, I want to do IV drip antibiotics, no oral, because I want to protect my gut. And they said, well, it'd be about 300,000, 350 maybe for 9 months. And we don't take insurance. And I just thought, wow, okay, well, maybe I'm just going to die then. But I wasn't about to end my life. And then a friend whispered in my ear and said, hey, there's a woman that does this ancient Japanese acupuncture with bees called Hoshindo in Santa Fe. Maybe you should try it. And I thought, what is a bee going to do? I mean, that is ridiculous. I thought, this is a serious medical situation. And it just sounded preposterous, honestly, as well as painful. I think most people think, bees are horrendously painful. And I'd been stung
But
before.
here, it sounds like you're a daredevil, right? Like you've been this guide, you've done all sorts of things. You asked to be struck by lightning. Now you're stinging yourself with bees. Like a little bit of a daredevil or an adrenaline junkie or whatever you want to
Definitely an
call
adrenaline.
it.
I loved adrenaline. And so anyway, I thought, well, I'll go to Santa Fe and I'll try this. I have nothing to lose, especially for the price, just a couple $100 or something, get in there and see. And literally within 5 seconds of my first stings, I could feel my nerves stopping, the twitch, the shaking, the thermal regulation. All of a sudden I was warm. I felt light. I felt almost like myself in minutes. And I thought, wow, this is out of control. And then I actually caught myself, asking for more and more. And my teacher was like, no, we don't, you got to be careful. You can't just like use a ton of venom. And so I kept begging for more. And then I said, look, I've got this headache that's been going on for 3 months. And I really been nauseous and dizzy. And I need a lot. I need you to, put some in my brain. And online, there's a lot of Lyme groups that say, oh, that's not safe, and there's a lot of reasons, of course, which I understand now. You got to be careful because the Lyme is intracellular infection. And the bee venom, being water soluble, penetrates these membranes so effectively. It has an affinity for every cell in the body, which I couldn't explain to you at the time, but I could feel it. So she stung me in the head, and it was at that point that I had kind of an out-of-body experience where I was like a dead, dried-up, microscopic dot, and the entire universe was the bee. And then as the venom went into the top of my head, we like exchanged places. And the mountains and the blue sky and the flowers and all the earth and the stars and the planets came out, and I had became small in the universe, and the bee had shrunk to nothing. And it was like we had changed. It was almost like I was outside the universe, and the bee brought me back into it, and we exchanged places. And it was the most magnificent moment I'll ever remember, because I really felt like my life filled my body again. Like I came home again inside myself. I wasn't hopeless. And it was something that over the years after the lightning, people had asked me, what was it like to be hit by lightning? And it affected me in every way, especially in terms of time and the relationships to time. But the number one thing I've always said is that it felt like two bee stings. And so the lightning was almost like a foreboding of what was to come because I had had
You
many years of
really said
dreaming.
that. You described the lightning strike as bee stings.
Yeah. It felt like a bee sting where it hit me and where it went out of my arm. It hit me in the leg and went out of my arm. And it felt like two bee stings, but my insides were severely burned. I mean, it was trillions of volts of electricity, millions and millions of amps. And how I
But
even survived
just
it was just mind blowing.
being
But
that you use that terminology and then little did you know you were gonna get into this bee stinging.
exactly. And you know, it's funny, is after the lightning, I'd had dreams of doing
Amazing.
acupuncture. And I'm like, I'm not going to acupuncture school. Like, I'm an adventure guide. I'm a guide. Like, that's what I do. But I was like, after being crippled by Lyme and disabled by it, and then having the bees come into my nervous system, and actually, it was like restoring my battery power. It was like my electricity went on, the lights came on, and I was home in my body like I'd never been. It was the most fascinating moment of my life. And so I actually went every day to my teacher because she was having to leave to Scotland to teach or whatnot. And I didn't, this was like the lifesaver, the life preserver. And I was drowning in an ocean, like many Lyme patients. I had no hope and I had no way out of this hole. And then here came this floating life preserver that brought me not only out of the water, but up onto my feet again. And one day, and I thought, well, I went every day for 11 days, and then I started feeling the tsunami of die off and how the venom really was clearing things. All my lymph got swollen, and I started realizing, okay, you have to go slowly, kind of like washing an elephant with a toothpick. You can't just do more. And like Americans, my teacher would always say, all these Americans, they think a little works, so do more. And it's not really that way. Like you have to really gently do this, and to meet the bee with sacred reverence is what was happening. She was guiding me on this, that this is atomic energy. In Chinese medicine, the bees are referred to as dragons, because they are so powerful. And the bee is one of the most powerful insects in the world, as anyone that's allergic could tell you. It could be life-threatening. And on the other end, though, if you were to meet the bees with reverence, if you were allergic and you were to do low dose immunotherapy, small doses over 5 years under the supervision of an MD, it could become something that may work for you. But in my case, I've never really been allergic. I've taken lots of stings in my throat, motorcycling and stuff. And so I never really reacted. And I thought, well, let's go with it. And in the beginning, it was real. The biggest side effect, besides the lymph swelling, was the itchiness. And just the feeling of coming alive again. And so it was a hard thing to say I'm not going to do, or there was no, it was a no-brainer. It was like, well, this is affordable too. I mean, I could learn to raise bees. And my wife was like, what? You've done it once and now you're going to be a beekeeper? Like, what are you talking about? I married an adventure guide photographer and now you're going to like farm bees? So she wasn't really thrilled about the idea. And then it turned out, she was actually suffering from Lyme herself that we didn't realize. And it became something that was a life preserver that thrown to us by the universe. And that's how the journey really started, is we both felt incredibly better almost immediately. And it doesn't work that way for everybody. Some people do have different reactions, and some people really can't utilize that resource. But it's definitely been a huge eye opener.
Wow, that's incredible. What a journey to lead you here, right? Like I think so much divine intervention goes on in this world, and sometimes we miss those little signs, right? But this was right there for you. There was no missing that. And so it really is fascinating to me that, well, and what you said is that I don't know if it's necessarily Americans or anybody, but
Yeah.
when they find something that works a little bit, right? Okay, then a lot's got to work a lot better. And I'm glad that you brought
Yeah.
that up because I see that so many times in the community. And I get it, right? Many of us have spent decades trying to get a diagnosis. We have a diagnosis, let's throw everything at it. But it
Yeah.
truly can inhibit your healing and make you take so many steps backwards. I always say slow and steady can win the race, right? Like we all hear the phrase, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon, and it truly is. And it was interesting
Yeah.
that the first time that you got stung by the bees, that you had, you know, just this amazing experience, and then you started having the die-off symptoms, right? Which I'm sure were probably not fun. But then also too, it's kind of like, okay, then it's really doing something, right? Like it's killing something off. And so
Yeah.
can you talk a little bit about, because I really want to kind of dive into all the bee stuff, but can you talk a little bit about how long your journey was to really get well? I know that you were stinging, you know, you started stinging a little bit more. Did you do any other types of therapies to support your body along the way? Did you work on your detox pathways? Did you work on detox in general? How did you handle these Herx type reactions from the bee stings?
That's great. Yeah. So when I started, my teacher fortunately had 30 years of experience or 25 years of experience in treating a lot of different diseases with bees. Turns out apitherapy has been known to help close to 600 different diseases. And so which is just fascinating. You know, I'm,
It
you
really
know,
is.
it's like you've watched the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding, where they use Windex for everything. That's kind of me now, as I use bees for everything. It's just like, oh, well, got an issue? Yeah, sting it, you know, use some venom. And my kids are like,
You
oh,
sound like me
Dad.
with colloidal silver. Anything happens, I'm like, oh, take some colloidal silver, put it in your eye, do whatever. It's one
Yeah.
of my favorite things. Yeah.
Oh yeah, well that's awesome. And you know, I've used that for years as well. And I learned about silver in the 90s, I guess. And it was great for international travel and all that kind of stuff. But yes, and getting back to bees and how do I work through the thing with bees? My teacher was definitely wise in that sense. And she not only was instilling in us the importance of meeting the bees with reverence and the fact that they are a gift to the universe and that we are stewards of these little creatures. You know, one of the big criticisms we get from people is, oh, well, you're killing bees. Well, not exactly. It's kind of like farming, you know, you eat chickens, you eat the eggs, but you don't eat the chicks, the little babies, you know. Same with the bees. When we use the venom, we're getting the older field bees. We don't go in the hive and get nurse bees. We go to the outside of the hive and get the older bees, the ones that are about to die. They're in the hierarchy of if they disappear out in the field, they're not going to be missed because they 500 bees a day die from age in the hive. And so we're harvesting the oldest bees. And so that's part of the process, is that we don't just go for the inside of the hive. We go for the older bees. We try to understand the hierarchy within the hive. And then, as part of that, as my teacher would say, a sensei voice, she would say, you know, the main thing is to remember it is quicker to go slower. Less is more. It's almost homeopathic that by using small amounts, the body will assimilate it and receive it. Whereas if you use too much, it's an attack and the body will buffer against it. And so I have seen many people have large reactions that are really histamine cascades, and they're not allergies. They look identical. But you can get around that by, you know, A, we never do any stinging without EpiPens, and a lot, I have four everywhere I go. I never sting without that. I never sting in remote locations. I always have Zyrtec or liquid Zyrtec around so that we're prepared for some sort of an event. We like to be near medical support in case something really was to go haywire. But in my experience, it's been avoidable as long as you go slow and really in great reverence. On top of that, I never found that I needed anything for detox. I didn't even really know about detoxing. You know, I was like, well, I'll sweat a little. And I did make some mistakes. If I did too much heat in saunas, I would get sick. I would feel, overdone, like a cooked chicken, so to speak. I would definitely have issues. And so with the venom, I would just go gently. And I did start to incorporate a lot of propolis, other bee products. Bee propolis is very antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal. You can take it orally. You can also take tinctures. And I use that to support because, from what I understood as I did the research, the bees, they brought me out of the hole enough to where I could then register research and I could do things and get my memory back, which it was amazing for clearing up my nervous system and restoring my memory. By morning after my first treatment, I had smell and taste restored. And so I did the research and I realized, okay, these Lyme things have biofilm. They're very difficult to treat. And that was where, as you said earlier, like, what else did I need in my body? And I was having a lot of muscle cramping. And as I looked into that, I started realizing, my battery was lacking particular minerals. And that led down the rabbit hole of what does Lyme like to eat? And that brought me into like magnesium, manganese, cobalt, arachidonic acid, biotin, vitamin C, zinc, copper, lithium, all these essential minerals that you need for electricity in the system. And so, as I was exposed to Anpuku and the five element Chinese medicine, I realized there is this metal element we need to attract water in the system. So, electrolytes became a big deal. Then, like you said, well, where's the detox pathways? Oh, that's where magnesium plays a major role, zinc and copper and lithium as well. And so, all of those things kind of came along secondary. So, bees, in a sense, gave me enough vitality back. And apparently, bees do carry a lot of, many, many trace minerals because it's concentrated plant medicine. You figure typically a bee may visit, 1 to 4,000 flowers in its lifetime, maybe more. And in that, it generates about a teaspoon or less than a teaspoon, maybe a quarter teaspoon of honey in its lifetime. But all those plant medicines concentrated in the venom do give you a wide variety of peptides and minerals. And so it's an area that needs to be continued to study. I want to see this brought globally because Lyme is such a huge issue.
And people can't afford to get treatment,
it
like my
it is a
dream, my goal is, to have whatever forms of treatment we want to use covered by insurance. And some people laugh at me, but it's okay to dream, right? And I work hard every day trying to make things, happen like that. But it sounds like this is an affordable way to actually treat this illness, right? Because, and again, not one thing works for everyone, and there's a lot of variables, right, when it
Well,
comes into.
absolutely. Absolutely. And in terms of treating the disease, it's interesting how it works. For me, what I like to think about what venom is it's when we look at the research, venom is neuroprotective and neurorestorative. So in a lot of ways, it's also, in my opinion, a solvent that seems to cleanse the tissues or the cells. And from the studies I've read in Petri dishes, bee venom will paralyze, not kill, but paralyze the infections, the spirochetes. And in the process of that, they can't outrun or they can't reproduce. They can't outrun the immune system. So what happens, what we've seen in Petri dish, is that the venom will paralyze the spirochetes and then activate the immune system. Same with some of the relationships to triple negative breast cancer tissue in Petri dish. The bee venom is so shown to improve communication from healthy cells, and the T cells and the immune system can get in there and talk to each other better and actually cut off the demand that the cancer tumors have to getting more energy. So how I feel the bee venom is really working is that it's a cell signaler. It's actually turning the immune system on, as well as cleaning the system. So it's the immune system that gets back to work. So it's actually really a stimulant for the immune system and maybe a solvent that helps clean the fish tank of the goo, because that's a big problem. One of the things I've seen with all of the Lyme patients that I've worked with venom is that almost within seconds of them receiving some venom, they start to smell of toxic ammonias. Like I've had people say, wow, it smells like I peed myself, and it's really coming out of their tissues. And with that, it took me years to figure that out in myself. The first day after my first treatments, I remember putting on my dry suit and dry top, going to the river, and at the end of my wonderful first day of kayaking in years, I reeked of Windex. I mean, I just smelled of ammonia, and I thought, what is this? And so the bees had really started releasing these toxins that were backed up in my system. And with that, my nerves improved, my brain improved, my circadian rhythm improved. Then I got hormone tested, and I realized I had no hormone function. And within 2 years of doing bees, my hormones were back online. I actually had hormones again. And so it was a cell communicator. It was improving communication. And again, that just goes back to what we do know bees do, which is improve nerve function. So it's almost like it's just an incredible natural solvent that restores the body's systems to do its job against these infections, and that they will come out slowly, and that it will take time. And so, as my teacher said, I've seen chronic illness with Lyme basically be restored after about 3 years. Now, whether or not it's gone or cured, I'm not going to say, because I don't know. I mean, it could come back. I definitely, people have these ups and downs, and there's times you've got to go a little harder and times you got to go a lot slower. And so there is quite a lot to it. It's not just a magic pill.
Right. There is no magic pill, right? Although sometimes people say, hey, I got this and it'll cure. If anybody is trying to sell you something that says it's going to cure something, please run and run fast. It's just not right. And whether is there's a cure, there's remission. I believe that we go in remission. I don't know that anybody really knows what happens, right? But my philosophy is if I'm not treating and I'm symptom free, I'm just good. I'd call it what you want to call it, right? Like I got my life back.
Well, exactly. That's the key, is getting people out of the hole. Because like you and I were talking about, suicide is a big deal with Lyme. One of my close friends, we got her. She was struggling with Lyme for 25 years. We got her on bees, and it was really helping. And yeah, she could handle a 30th of what I could take. Like too much venom, and she was swollen and puffy and herxing for days. So she was definitely a different kind of detoxer. She eventually ended up committing suicide when they got her on benzos, and she couldn't get off it. And she was calling for help, and I was out of town. And the next thing I know, she had jumped the bridge. And God rest her soul. Another one couldn't take it. And so I still, work in that realm of trying to prevent suicide by helping people understand that they can potentially help themselves out of this thing, whether they're be cured or not. Who knows? But what they can do is, if they can get feeling better, they can do the research, and maybe they can get on with their lives and at least function and not be hopeless. And so,
Right. And that's a lot of it when we're so sick, right? Like we can't, at one point I didn't know my name. Like how can you research if you don't even know who you are?
Well, that's where I was at. I
And
couldn't
yeah.
remember my wife's name, and she was quite shocked that I'm like, what? And what do you mean you can't remember my name? And I said, well, I've been trying for hours, and it's like my brain is putty.
It is, and then you mentioned earlier, John, that our bodies are truly amazing. They have the capability of healing themselves. And just like when you said, this venom is kind of boosting up our immune system, right? Allowing things to kind of turn back on. Like our bodies are light and energy, we're voltage, and we truly are amazing. And I talk about healing from Lyme, and then you talk about people that get sick again, and I truly believe that if you address all layers of this illness, and a lot of it is the blocked traumas and the emotions, right? We have to do our nervous. There's many, many layers, but I believe if you address them all and truly work through them, then there's no reason you cannot reach remission and stay in remission for forever. But supporting our body in the right way. So it's not necessarily all about killing these pathogens. Boost
Absolutely.
up your body. And I think that so many people don't understand that, right? Like they think that you have to kill, 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 which I'm not saying that that shouldn't be part of your protocol, right? Because I think that there definitely is most of us that need to have that antimicrobial stuff going on in our body, but we also need to fix our gut health. We need to boost our immune system. We need to address whether we're dealing with mold or metals or parasites or, so many layers to it. But it truly is possible. And, maybe one form of something will get somebody so far, right? And then you
Well,
may have to
exactly.
move on to something else, and because there's not a one thing fits everybody for this. So when we go back to you saying that you stung, basically, did I understand you correctly, for about 3 years, and that was really kind of your timeline for being all back? And did you sting every day? Is it like a once a day thing that you
Definitely didn't
sting?
sting every day. Now, when I started in the beginning, I progressed every other day. And if stinging every day, I did do that for the first 10, 11 days. And I definitely felt like it was kind of intense. The itching was really intense in those days. The better, the more my system strengthened, the less the itching occurred. After the first couple of weeks, it was fine. Then I went maybe a couple of weeks without stinging. And I thought, man, I really need some bees. My nervous system's falling apart. And I did too many bees, and then I felt sick for about 5 days, had a big herx, and was like, okay, now I just got to figure out, I got to be consistent. So I went every other day, which over the years I've learned that, stinging every day does seem to overwhelm the cortisol. I've seen people that do a lot of the online protocols and they stay too heavy, stinging too much, and they can burn out their adrenals. They're not getting enough salts, they're not getting enough minerals, not enough water in the system. Maybe they're not taking one of the most important things I've learned from other people out there, vitamin C is really essential, but a lot of people with Lyme have gut issues, and so I like the plant-based forms of vitamin C is less acidic, and quercetin, really good for histamines, propolis as well, also kind of envelopes the mast cells and keeps them from cascading and having these big reactions. But if you add too many things like mushroom medicine, any of those things, they activate the mycelium. They can cause big histamine reactions. I've seen people have big reactions by, doing too much pollen and then adding venom too close to when they dose pollen and then having big reactions. So everything needs to be kind of simplified. And so, like you asked this a little bit earlier about, well, how do we work this? What's the protocol? What's the system? And the system and protocol for me is a one size fits all doesn't work. So I like to understand where's our deficiencies. If the fishbowl is dirty, we need to uncork it and get it cleaned out. That's the number one thing is get that thing cleaned out, from whatever way, hydrotherapy, colonics, good nutrition.
They're one of my favorite things.
Yeah, I mean, these are huge things that a lot of people have done for themselves and had great results with. And then again, with the venom, it's not doing, a lot of people with Lyme also do way too many things on top of each other. And if something's working, they don't even know what it is. Or on the other side of that, converse side of that, if they do too many things and something's making them really sick, what is it? And so I try to make things really simple from the word go. When I started, bees really took me to a new place quickly. So I stuck with that and then added one or two things, one thing at a time. Over time, and I took notes. I made a Lyme journal. I became kind of scientific. I've been my own experiment on how far will bees get me by themselves. In that first year, I did add a lot of propolis. I also had a lot of good things to experience with Dr. Rawls's protocol because I found that his supplements, everything I found in the data, his supplements were a decent price for a really wide profile of nutrients and detoxes and antimicrobials, and I tolerated it really well. I thought, Dr. Rawls is a wonderful contribution to the Lyme community, and that Vital Plan was very effective in stopping my muscle
Was
cramping.
vital for you.
Yeah, it was awesome. And
Yes,
like
I
you
adore
said,
Dr.
it's
Rawls. He's been
we're
a guest on my show multiple times. He probably gets tired of
oh.
hearing from me.
Oh, good. Well, I love him too. I think he's a great contribution, a super calm, very knowledgeable voice, no big ego, just really out there serving the community. And his
He really
prices kind of
does.
reflect that. I mean, Those prices for those high quality supplements, I think, are a great deal, and I definitely send a lot of people that to that direction. My thing is, I focused on what I was learning, and that was the bees and the propolis and the bee products. So I do. A royal jelly is incredible, hard to get. You have to have thousands of hives to get any of that, but there's some good brands out there, and you can. It's just another thing to add to the system. But again, caution on what you add and how often and how much, So I've just been extremely grateful to help guide all these other people out of these holes with what worked for me. And like I said, I've tried to keep it simple and not overdo anything, go slow, be patient, and really just see, okay, am I detoxing too hard? Am I putting too much venom into my system? What I used to do in the early days was quite a lot, and now like we talked about, well, 3 years was a good mark for me. I felt like I didn't have to keep stinging. But then at one point, 3 years in, actually, I started feeling like something really bad was attacking me, and I wasn't sure what. And I'd been telling all my patients.
So you did 3 years of stinging and then you stopped for 3 years?
No, I didn't even stop, but I had lightened up and was using maybe 5, 10 bees a week.
Okay.
Because I allergy specialist said, hey, well, if you use 5 to 10 bees a week, 5 bees a week, every month, you'll never have a reaction. Your body will be used to it. And a lot of the beekeepers I know, they take lots of stings. And so I was stinging along kind of less. I felt great. I was doing fine. But then I felt like something was attacking me in my house. And I had talked to a lot of my clients about make sure you're not around mold. So I feel like I'm getting pneumonia. I'm not sleeping well. I'm like starting to feel really concerned. Something's going on. And I did like 11 bees in my chest and in my head. And the next thing you know, I can smell mold in my house. And I rip the roof out of my closet and I get up above the insulation and I discover a roof leak that had been going on. And I had 1,000 square feet of black mold over my sleeping room. And it was a massive wake-up call, and I realized this is what's making my wife and kids sick. We evacuated the house, $50,000 roof, huge problem with mold. And so I realized, of course, over the last 11 years, mold and Lyme are often intimately tied together. And so there's these sneaky things out there. Now, a lot of Lyme groups or a lot of mold groups, they say don't use bees because of mast cell activation. Well, in the research, you'll find that if you're careful, bees actually really work well with modulating mast cell activation. Not on everyone, but can help. And with mold, it seemed incredibly much a life-saving opportunity yet again. And it was really after the mold experience that I went through that I became all in on becoming a mold Lyme expert using venom, because the venom cleared up my nerves, cleared out the infection in my lungs. And basically saved my family's life this time, not just me and my wife.
So, bee venom was the main thing that you used for mold.
Yep, besides, and I did do some other things, like you said earlier, asked about detoxing. So with the mold situation, I learned about the Shoemaker protocol and getting on the right combinations of detox. Rinsing out the sinuses, getting maybe a combination of biocidin or different things to clear the fungus out of the system. Fluconazole is one of those antifungals that's been very popular. I didn't use it much. I do also recommend that anybody dealing with Lyme or any of this stuff, mold, that you do work with an MD that's open to what you're doing, because you do need liver panels, you do need blood work, you do want to watch these things. Some people, very rare, have issues in the liver with bee venom. Other people, like I've had a close friend had Lyme his whole life, didn't know it, and broke his leg. Next thing you know, he's dying of liver failure, and the doctors were accusing him of being an alcoholic, and he didn't even drink, and it was actually the liver toxins were so elevated that it was destroying his liver, and it was Lyme. And so it's really important to have some insights into how your system is doing as you go through these detox processes. And so it is, it's wonderful to have a team. And then that's where, my real dream is to have this medicine for Lyme, get into a nonprofit driven model where we're looking at bee venom as an alternative medicine that complements these other approaches. Because being water soluble, unlike a lot of the pharmaceutical medicine, the bee venom penetrates every cell in the body, which is getting after those hiding organisms, and it gets into the bones and the lymph and the brain. And in the research,
So
you'll
does
see
it
that
also bust up the biofilms?
it does. And propolis has been shown to do that as well. And
Oh,
but
really?
like even
Okay.
in brain cancer research, tumors, they're using bee venom as a carrier for chemo drugs because the bee venom is water soluble. It penetrates the blood-brain barrier and brings the chemo drugs right into the tumors. So it's a huge new frontier of unknown medicine. And it's something that we really need to look closer at. I mean, every clinical trial you read about bee venom, it's going to end with more study needed. There's just not a lot of profit in it.
Anything that works
Sure.
well needs more, right? Like
Yeah.
it's not approved.
Well, and that's where I'd love to see it approved because it's readily abundant, it's affordable. It just needs to be, like the Chinese medicine say in the Japanese way, it's a dragon. It could be harmful if you do too much, like any medicine.
And I
I know
think that
tons of
that's
people.
really important to bring up, John, because a lot of people like myself, I stayed away from antibiotics. I stayed away from pharmaceuticals, as far as treating. And unfortunately, I didn't know what I didn't know in my journey. And I was on, the benzos. I was on the anxiety meds. I was on the pain meds. I was
Yeah.
on all the stuff. But
Yeah, you do
I
what you got
believe
to
there's a
do.
time and place, right? And you do what you got to do.
Yeah.
But I think that there can be a misconception out there that because it's a natural remedy, because it's a natural herb, that it cannot be dangerous, and that could not be further from the truth.
Yeah.
These things can. They do interact with other things. They
Big time.
can do too much. You can just because it's natural doesn't mean that it can't be dangerous. And so we always
Absolutely.
need to keep that in mind. And I think oftentimes people don't, right? So I'm glad you kind of brought that up.
Yeah, well, it's really true. And that's the thing is meeting it with reverence, understanding. I've had many friends with Lyme now, hundreds, and many of them have experienced severe allergic reactions from IVs, and they're in a medical setting. And so we need to be cautious about how we approach these things because it is potentially harmful or other side effects. And that's where there are things definitely not to mix with the venom. And again, we can't do a deep dive into all the different layers of how it could be difficult, but the fact is, if done right and if done carefully, it is a lifesaver. And it was in my case, and it's something that I really want to be part of the study, the research. I'm my own experiment right now. I've been able to get this far without having done antibiotics. I haven't had any antibiotics in my system for over 12 years. And I'm super grateful for that. But it doesn't mean that I don't like antibiotics. It doesn't mean I don't like Western medicine. It's saved my life several times throughout my life. And so it's one of these things, though, that overuse is a big issue in anything. And with venom, it is something that I could be. Somebody may accuse me of overusing it, but I have beekeeper friends that they receive about 100 stings a day and their body's used to it. They like it. They're like bears in a human suit. This good friend of mine here at Florida Honeybees, he's rescuing bees out of structures and providing a lot of bees for people that they heal themselves. And he's also maintaining, hundreds of hives and has wonderful honey. And it's like, I like to have a bee suit, and now I have a wonderful relationship with Apis Tactical, a wonderful bee suit that's ventilated. And, I like to know that the stings are coming. Whereas Ian, he wears a ball cap and a veil, and then he goes after, he gets 100 stings and doesn't seem to faze him. So it's, not everybody's like that either. So.
All right, we're all so different. So if we can kind of back up a little bit, because I want to kind of dive into this a little bit more.
Sure.
So you talked earlier about, taking safety precautions. You have EpiPens around, you're not out in the middle of nowhere doing this. So when it comes to, okay, so for example, take myself. And you had mentioned earlier that, you'd been stung in the throat many times. So I have been stung by bees many times. I stepped on them in the grass as a little kid, and I never had any reaction in anything outside the norm other than, okay, that hurts and it's swollen or itchy or, whatever it may be. And I want to say I was probably maybe 30, and I'll never forget, it was a hot summer day. I went to get in my car and I immediately rolled down my window. I don't know if a bee just came in, but he literally just came and stung the middle of my neck.
No boy.
And it swelled up. I felt like I couldn't breathe. I had a huge reaction. I ended up going to the urgent care. And so since then, I don't recall being stung by a bee. But does that mean I'm allergic to it? How does one know if they're allergic to bees? Like, I never had been before, but I did have that reaction. And do people kind of test themselves? Do they want to have an EpiPen and try it? Or if we know that we're just flat out allergic, I think you mentioned earlier that there were some types of therapies that you could do to see if you could
Yeah,
be not allergic, to see
you
if you could
can.
do this therapy. So let's just talk about kind of the allergies and EpiPen and reactions.
Sure. So, like I say, it's a very difficult arena. It's a gray area. It's a big gray area. And the reason I say that is a lot of people feel they're allergic because they had a big reaction on their arm. Getting local stings when you're not used to it could be a big deal in the throat for sure. Once your body's used to the venom, I basically can't say for sure that I would never have a big reaction. So I always have my EpiPens around. I always have liquid Zyrtec or liquid Benadryl. Zyrtec I like better as a second generation antihistamine because it works a little faster, according to the pharmacists I've talked to, and it doesn't make you as sleepy. Whereas Benadryl can really knock you out, which you don't want to be knocking down your vitals if you're having issues. So anyway, aside from that, people that feel they have big allergies may be absolutely right. And one of the ways is to go to an MD and get checked for a bee allergy. And one of the things that can happen is you can develop an allergy from inconsistent stinging. So if you sting a little and then nothing, and then sting some and then nothing, that may be okay, but it may cause bigger and bigger and bigger reactions. If you're going too long, or if you get a lot of venom and then do nothing for 3 months, and then one bee could send you into a big reaction, it might be one of these situations where your immune system is freaking out or overreacting and developing a severe allergy. I've had this happen to beekeeper friends as well. One was getting very, very massive reactions. He did maybe 10 bees, and then 2 months later, one bee would send him for a major reaction. Then he would avoid it, and then another bee would send him for a major reaction. And he started carrying eight EpiPens. He had Benadryl with him. I mean, it was a serious deal. He eventually did the 5-year low dose immunotherapy and got to where he could do two full stings without any big reactions. And let it go at that. He did quit beekeeping, and who could blame him? Dragon medicine is scary. The allergy specialists I've talked to say that you can train the immune system to be used to it, that once you start stinging, you do want to continue with light, consistent, not daily, but every other day or every few days, stinging, working yourself through at least 3 to 5 years so that you're essentially training the immune system to respond well. I've had some beekeepers tell me, "Oh, you only have so many stings you can take in your life, so you're wearing out your number, and you're going to eventually react." And I don't know about that either. I've done about 20,000 bees in the last 11 years on myself, and I've had various times where I've had big reactions, swelling locally, but nothing that's systemic. Now, so it is. I think, I'm not an MD. I'm definitely
And
not.
listeners, as always, we're not offering medical advice,
That's
right?
right.
Like
That's
educational,
right.
informational only.
This is just
So,
opinions in my experience. So, in my
right.
experience, if you're careful and you're not, you're using light amounts consistently, it should be okay. Now, in one of my children, she was having issues as a little one, and we were stinging her lightly. And then one day, a bee stung her in the finger, and she had a major reaction systemically. She did have leaky gut at the time, and it was definitely a cascade. Her lips were involved, swelling, and turned red as a beet, head to toe. We gave her some Zyrtec, and everything was fine. And then about 5 days later, I started with her again. And we kept stinging for several months. She's been stung several times since, and no reactions, no nothing major, just a local red spot. And still though, I recommend to her, you're going to school, you're going to the pool, you're going to a hot tub party, bring Zyrtec in your backpack. If anybody else has a reaction, you'll know what to do. Pull the stinger out, help them. It
Right.
could be you. So
Right.
it's a gray area, and I say that because we don't really know. And I tell people, look, just because you've never reacted, don't think you're not going to react, even if you do this all the time. And one of the things we're developing at Apis Tactical is some bee safe kits so that people can buy a kit, have it by their pool, have it in their car, and have it handy so that you can just kind of, intervene if somebody's having a reaction. It could be a wasp. I was attacked by, 15 wasps that came out of a light at my house. And they all got me in the neck, which was wild. I mean, it was extremely painful. Wasp venom's 50 times stronger. But because of the use of the bees, I felt that I wasn't that worried about it. And not long ago, I was drinking water out of my water bottle after working on a very aggressive hive and culling a queen that had, she had gone very aggressive. We had tried everything to keep her calm with food and more space in the hive. And they were just, she was basically, all these bees were attacking everyone near it. So we replaced the queen. I replaced the queen. And then when I went back to drink water in my truck, two full stings on my tongue with a bee. And that was wild. It definitely was the most painful thing I've ever experienced. Two full stings on the middle of my tongue. While driving, and I kind of, my tongue did look like a ballpark Frank or something. I had a hard time talking well, but it went away and I was good. But you never want to let your guard down. That's,
Very, very good tip. So,
yeah.
did I hear you say that you've been stinging consistently for 11 years?
Yep.
Okay. And are you always going to sting?
Yeah. Probably. I unless I was like developing a crazy reaction, it has done so much for me. I have seen so many examples of people from head injuries, getting their minds back, getting their memory back, getting their balance, smell, taste, the nervous system calming down, stopping arthritis, all of these
So you're
incredible.
doing it as kind of like keeping my foundation strong, right? So we can stay
Yeah.
healthy.
Keeping my
Okay.
men, yeah, exactly. If my kids injure their knee or pull a ligament or have an ankle issue, all I tap them lightly, give them a bit of venom, headaches, I use it all the time. You can do facials with it. I mean, it's a fascinating thing, but it saved my life twice, hands down. The fact that it's done that, I don't want to lose the ground I've had. Now that, as I follow the research with Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and dementia, they're finding it could be chlamydia, it could be shingles in the brain, it could be infections that are stealth that we don't know causing these neurodegenerative diseases, it could be fungus. And bees seem to be effective in many of these situations. And so, why would I stop is kind of how I feel. And when I go to my beehives, I go to the yard, I'll take a few stings and I'm open to it because, the other day I was having a shingles outbreak in my neck. I was losing control of my hands and I thought, well, I was taught never to sting in the spine. I wonder if it would help me. And I was at my beehive as I'm having this conversation with the universe, and a bee came up, flew right in front of my face, and then flew right around behind me and stung me right in the spine, right where the shingles was going on. And within seconds, my hands were working. And I was like, well, I guess I got my answer. So I've had a lot of people ask me, do they stop shingles? Do they make shingles worse? And that's something that I want to see studied in a clinical trial because I have had recurring shingles ever since getting it at 28, and it's been a real monster. I haven't had the shingles vaccine because now that it's recurring so much, I'm not sure how I feel about it. I've had a lot of vaccines for traveling the world, and I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm just concerned about triggering bigger problems. Would it help or would it hurt? You know, none of these things are 100% one way or the other. And so I think it's really important to get more information on this. And you know, I have seen it help shingles, but I have seen it also, it seems like it could be bringing out some of these things, you know, exposing them to the surface. Many of the veteran beekeeper and apitherapists I know have talked about that bees bring anything hiding into the surface. And so, you know, if it's bringing it up to expose it to the immune system, good or bad, who knows? It's some unknown territory. We're on the frontier of trying to figure out some of these things.
Well, please don't stop because I truly think it's fascinating. And yes, I don't blame you, right? Like, why change something that isn't broken? You're doing these stings. It's done amazing things for you and your family. You're continuing to learn. You do it with caution. You're very safe doing it, and you always know that just because I've never, horribly responded doesn't mean it can't happen, right?
That's
So we
right.
just got to be aware of everything and be vigilant, I guess maybe is the good word for it. So John, this has been just fascinating. How do you help people
You
along
know,
the way? Like, can people reach out to you? Do you have a site? Do you share stuff on Facebook? Like, because I have a feeling a lot of people are going to want to kind of follow you and figure out, maybe this could be the ticket for me, right?
it
Maybe
certainly
because
could
nothing else
certainly
has
help.
worked, and then maybe also because they can't really afford anything else, and this can be affordable. So tell us, can people reach out to you? Do you help? What do you do?
Yes, I have a website that's currently being constructed, and my web people are like, "What is wrong with you? You are so busy." It's like, "Get this done." And so I do have websites up, but they're not active at the moment. That's coming soon. I am on LinkedIn, I'm on Facebook, Instagram. Those are where most people are contacting me these days. They've been affordable sites. Free is
Okay. And
good.
you're on
And
there just under your name.
yep, John
Okay.
Fulbright with two L's on Instagram. It's John.Fulbright. Look for the hat. I'm on there. You'll see my portrait
Okay.
on LinkedIn. You know, my entire life has been about guiding people on adventures. I'm a professional guide at river and mountains and you know, and whatnot. And so in this realm, I'm here to help them consult with working on themselves. And we're developing the process. So yeah, if somebody's would like some guidance, I'm out there helping people. We're trying to really, you know, curb the suicides and provide people hope and provide people some practical tools. It's a crisis. You know, the estimates right now worldwide in the Northern Hemisphere alone is 1 in 7 may be dealing with an intracellular infection, a tick-borne disease or a spider bite that could be ruining their life and not showing up in a test. So, you know, I advocate for the Center for Lyme Action. I work with a lot of different laboratories right now that are developing different tests that are working on, you know, there's a competition for getting a certified test in the United States. And but my main thing is more than testing, I'm in the therapeutics. You know, the bees are really what, you know, came to me from the heavens. And so that's what is work for me, and that's what I'm here to share. So, yeah,
Well,
it's the
you did
one I
it
know.
so well. And listeners, as always, I'll make sure to spell out John's full name in the description of this episode, as well as where you can find him online, and then follow him online. And then hopefully soon you'll be able to find his upcoming website.
About to
So
launch soon. Yep, we're just putting it
awesome.
together. So, thank
John,
you so much,
thank you
Tanya.
so
This
much.
really, for everything you're doing for all these people out there. I mean, it's a global situation. I'd have to say in the last few months, I've literally had phone calls from almost every country in Northern, Eastern Europe, North America. I mean, it's really it's popping like popcorn these days. Lots of people calling, lots of people looking out there. There are quite a few apitherapists out there and Hoshindo practitioners. So we can certainly network, and you know, we've got this neural network of people that are all dealing with healing. So, you know, it takes a village.
It takes a village. I say that all the time, and it does. So
Yeah.
happy to have you in this village with us, and just
Yes.
appreciate what you're doing. And really excited and looking forward to seeing where exactly this all takes you. So you're doing wonderful, and I just thank you from me and the listeners and the community, because we really do appreciate you.
Well, thank you so much. It's been an honor, and God bless you for getting out there and helping people. That's what it's all about. You know, we need leadership that is about community and diversity. It's like I look to the bees every day, and it's like, you know, it's the monoculture crops, the pesticides we're putting in our food. I mean, if the bees could say anything, it would be like, why are you treating us this way? Why can't we treat ourselves and each other with great respect and reverence? Because we need diversity. You know, what I'm good at, somebody else isn't good at. And what I'm not good at, I need other people for that. And it's kind of like, you know, we need each other. That's the bottom line. And we need some leadership that acknowledges that diversity is a beautiful thing.
100%. I agree.
Resilience and strength. Look at the bees, you know, when a hive is producing bees, that queen has genes coming from a wide rainbow of fathers. It's unbelievable when you understand the bee world. It's fascinating. It's you know, the more flowers, the better. Bees don't like, who wants to eat bacon every day? You know, and now actually, I think bacon's been considered a carcinogen, you know. So it's like we need a variety of plants. We need a variety of insects. We need this for the birds and for the bees. So yeah, anyways, thank you so much for having me today. It's been an honor.
Thank you.